second of this week's parashios. The Torah tells us, "V'zecharti es brisi Yaakov, va'af es brisi Yitzchak, va'af es brisi Avraham eskar, va'haaretz eskar." Something unusual about that? You want to list the avos? Quick, who are the three avos? I'm using Yaakov. What does the Torah say? V'zecharti es brisi Yaakov, and then Yitzchak, and then Avram. It seems to be going in reverse order. Also, it keeps on referring to a separate bris, the bris of Yaakov, the bris of Yitzchak, the bris of Avram. Wasn't it really only one covenant? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with Avram Avinu at the bris of Sarim, and it was reaffirmed. That same covenant was reaffirmed with Yitzchak and reaffirmed with Yaakov. Is there really a unique bris that God made with Yitzchak, a unique bris that God made with Yaakov? So I saw in the drashos of Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer was the chief rabbi of Krakow in the 1930s. He was a great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer on both his mother's side and his father's side. You could do the math later, how that works out. But he was, he suggests as follows. He suggests that there are three areas of life that people tend to strive for success in. And he borrows the terminology from the Gemara, B'ni Chaye Umizoni, B'ni Chaye Umizoni. People try to succeed in all areas, but these three areas in particular, and our avos, each of the three avos achieved a certain degree of success in all of these areas, but primarily in one of these areas, meaning each of them had a specialty in either B'ni, Chaye, or Mizoni. What does that mean? So we have to define the terms. B'ni, Ben, what does it mean to have children? Who had the most success with his children in terms of being tzaddikim? Well, Avraham had a Yishmael, Yitzchak had an Esav, the only one that had Mitoso Shlema, that had 12 righteous Shvatim, was Yaakov. In fact, the Chassam Sofer explains, when the Navi describes how Penina had children, and Chana was jealous, Vayihila Penina Yeladim, Ulechana Ein Yeladim. So the Pashup Shad is that Penina had children, Chana didn't have children. Says the Chassam Sofer, no, it's more than that. Penina had Yiladim, Chana, Lechana, Techana, Ein Yiladim. Those are not the children she's interested in having. Because having children is not just about physically siring a child, being the father of children. Having children, success in having children means raising those children. In fact, it's part of the mitzvah peruvu. Part of the mitzvah peruvu is not just having the child, it's having the ability to raise the children. Sometimes people think they just got to pop out as many kids as they can, but if they can't care for those children and they can't give time to those children and they can't make sure that those children are going to be emotionally healthy, well then they're not really able to do the mitzvah of peruvu. The mitzvah in its most complete form is to take care of the children and to make sure that the children grow up in the way that one would want them to. So yeah, all of the others had children. But Avram had Yishmael, Yitzchak had an Esav. Yaakov was the one that excelled in this area of B'ni. Chaye is the second category, life. Everyone wants life. So what does life mean? Life does not mean livelihood. That's the third category. That's mezone. That's making a living. But chaye means the ability to enjoy life, a quality of life, a person who takes advantage of opportunities for greater spirituality and who's not constantly held back by troubles and by sorrows and by things that distract him and that bother him, is said to be living the life. A person who's really able to enjoy and strive and feel a sense of growth. You know, a lot of times people think, you know what life would be? What would be great in life? If I could just like be on a beach somewhere, on a golf course somewhere with nothing to do all day and just relax. You know how long you'd be happy doing that? Even if you go on vacation for too long, you get sick of it after a while. You'd be happy doing that for a couple of days. And then you go out of your mind, you go out of your kelim, because a person needs to grow, a person needs to strive, a person needs to feel accomplished. There's nothing, you know, psychologists call this flow, that a person is most happy when he feels challenged and then he's rising to the challenge. That's life. That's chaye. Chaye is not doing nothing, and chaye is certainly not failing. It's certainly not feeling too distracted to be able to do anything and being too uncomfortable to accomplish something. Of the three of us, Yitzchak's point of excellence was in chaye. He's the only one that didn't have to be exiled. there's nothing as distracting as an exile, as having to schlep around from place to place, having to be told, we don't want you here, get out of here, being thrown around. Yitzchak was able to live his entire life in Eretz Yisrael, and that, in that sense, he had chaye more than the other avos. Continues Rav Yosef Nechanya, and the third category, mizoni. Mizoni is what we would refer to as a livelihood. But making a living involves a lot more than taking home a paycheck. You know, growing up, we don't just have aspirations to put food on the table. We want to enjoy what we do. We want to make a living through what the Mishnah Kedushin calls an umnis nekiya vekala. We want to have a clean, easy profession. We want it to be something that talks to our skills and our talents, something that makes us feel good, and without having to face too much adversity in order to be able to provide for our families one day. Yitzchak and Yaakov were both able to put food on the table. Yaakov had to struggle with Lavan, and later he had to beg for food from Yosef or send his children to do so. Yitzchak nearly started riots when he dug Be'eros, or his attempts to dig Be'eros. Only Avraham enjoyed Mizone the way it should be enjoyed. He was extremely wealthy, loved and respected by all the kings of his generation. He possessed Mizone in a measure beyond the other three avos. Now, given that backdrop, these particular areas of excellence, Rav Yosef Nechemia explains that these three aspirations in life should not be viewed as independent goals which have their own independent value. A person cannot allow the goals of a peaceful life or the goals of a great parnasa to overshadow what ultimately is the real goal. Ultimately, it's the goal of raising a proper family, of enjoying nachas from one's children. You know, the ultimate nechama, when you deal with people who are in avelus, they always say the greatest nechama is the children and the grandchildren. That's always, why is that the greatest nechama? Because the sense of loss, of the person is gone, that there was a petira, and the person is no longer here, is you're comforted when you know that, yes, they are, because they left behind children and grandchildren. So their impact continues to live. Their impact continues to be there. And ultimately, you know, you make a little bit of money, a lot of money. Today, in 50, 70, 80 years, no one's going to remember, no one's going to know, and the money's all going to be gone. You know, ultimately, you enjoy life a little more, enjoy life a little less. It's not going to matter. Do you know whether your great-great-grandparents enjoyed life, you know, what their hardships were, what their challenges were? Here's what you do know, that you're here because of them. So the ultimate goal is the bini. The chaye, the mizone, they help us achieve that goal. And they're critical, but only insofar as they help us achieve that goal. The Gemara in Sota tells us, a person is supposed to first build a house and then marry a woman. You set up the mizonos first, and then you get married. But the physical financial support is not enough to start a family. You also have to assure yourself of chaye. You have to make sure that you'll be able to live with a degree of peace, a degree of a proper atmosphere that you can create for children. And then you could experience the bracha of bini the way Chana understood it. Now, a lot of times people get lost in this. They think the concern for mizoni, or the concern for chaye even, the concern to enjoy life, sometimes gets in the way of what the real goal is. And people sometimes lose sight of what's most important. I'm reminded of Aryeh Zev Ginsberg once told me that he was talking to a guy who was complaining to him that he has such a hard job and he works so hard, he never ever has time to learn with his children. He can never ever learn with his children, and he feels so badly about it, but what can he do? That's his job. He just doesn't have time. And Rabbi Ginsburg said, I felt so bad for this guy. He said, until I found out a little bit later that it had been 8 years since he had missed a non-Shabbos or Yom Tov Rangers home game. It had been 8 years since he hadn't been present at a non-Shabbos or Yom Tov Rangers home game. That he had time for. But to learn with his children, so it wasn't an issue if he didn't have time, as most of these things are. It's not an issue that a person doesn't have time. It's an issue of priorities. It was so important for him to be at the Rangers games that it didn't matter to him as much to be able to learn with his children. So Avram and Yitzchak established two of these yisodos. Mizone, chaye, the groundwork is laid, that the groundwork that's necessary for Yaakov's ultimate success with B'ni. And therefore, when recounting these three blessings, we recount them in the order of significance and priority. Brisi Yaakov, and then Yitzchak, then Avram. There were no three treaties, it was one bris, but each of the forefathers had to add an element in order to achieve that complete picture. But then, perhaps we could take it one step further. We've established that each of the Avos excelled in a different area, but we didn't explain why each of them was primed to excel in their particular area. What was it about the Midah of Avraham that allowed him to experience Chayi? What was it about the Midah of Yitzchak? I'm sorry, the Midah of Avraham that allowed him to experience Mizoni, the Midah of Yitzchak that allowed him to experience Chayi, the Midah of Yaakov that allowed him to experience B'ni. So Avraham is the Amud Ha, what is he? What's his Midah? Chesed. He's the Amud Ha Chesed. In order to achieve an umnus nikiya v'kala, and that will not involve having to deal with too many enemies and other difficulties and people trying to, you know, to get ahead of you and knock you down, it's important that a person give the impression and mean it, give the sincere impression that he's interested in other people's success, that he's interested in sharing and giving. You know, Chazal have an expression, melach mamon chaser. The salt, the preservative of money, is chaser. As if you give a lot to other people, it's counterintuitive. You would think you give away all your money, you'll have less of it. If you give it away, you'll have less. Right? If you have a donut and you give it away to someone else, now you have right. I think this is the way they teach math now. They no longer say one minus one is zero. Now they say if you have a donut and you gave a donut to your friend, you have no donut, right? You have zero donuts left. So why would it be that melach mamon chaser, that you make more money? So it happens to be, I read in Adam Grant's Give and Take a few years ago, in the book Give and Take, that they've done studies where this is actually true. They weren't looking to approve Chazal, but they found that people who are more generous, who give more charity, make more money. And not that people who make more money give more charity. That sometimes yes, sometimes no. No, people who give more charity, it's a people who made the same amount of money this year, and one guy gave $10,000 of charity, one guy gave $10 of charity, the one who gave $10,000 is more likely to make more money next year. Why? So the psychologists have whatever explanations they have, but largely along the lines of, it may not be magic. It may not be a magic that Chazal are telling us. They may be telling us that when you are a generous person, when you care about other people, well, then other people will care about you as well. And ultimately, people are going to be looking to help you out. If you're always willing to help. I know people that spend Yomam Valayla trying to help other people find jobs, trying to make connections for other people. And you know what? They do better for themselves because of it, because they have all this whole network of people that are interested in helping them out. So Avram's Midah was Chesed. That primes him to be successful in Parnassa. Yitzchak had to take that Parnassa and teach us how to live a quality of life, to live with a certain sense of serenity. Now, the ability to live with a sense of calm has very little to do with the circumstances one finds himself in life, and much more to do with one's attitude toward whatever circumstances come his way. You know, very often, how can I not be stressed out? You know what's going on at work? You know what's going on in my family? And some people are calm no matter what happens. Yitzchak is Gevura. Gevura is the strength to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and as long as he's being Oved Hashem, he's doing the right thing, he has nothing to worry about. And that's why he can calmly tell his father, tie me down a little tighter because I don't want to have a quick reaction or accidentally just, you know, slaughter me. You know, let's make it a kosher slaughter. Without blinking an eye, without hesitation, without anything. Because if this is what Hashem wants me to do, then that's it. It doesn't matter how trying the situation is. Person who has that midah of gevura, that midah of understanding, that of strong bitachon, that courage, that inner fortitude, that such a person is able to experience chayi, to experience life with a sense of serenity, with a sense of not being overly anxious, without being concerned about every little thing. Yaakov is the one who is able to raise children, all of his children, tzaddik. Yaakov's midah is the Midah of Emes. And perhaps more than anything else, you know, Yaakov's Teferis, a lot of things, but Titen Emes li Yaakov. You know, there are a lot of important things that go into raising children. But perhaps more than anything else is a sense of emes, is a sense of honesty. When children sense that their parents are one way at home, a different way in public, or they tell them one thing, then they behave themselves a different way, that has a crippling effect on a child. You know, they say from Rav Pam that Rav Pam said that when he remembers as a child that his mother, whenever she had to say that something wasn't true, she would never say the word sheker. She couldn't say the word das sheker. She said das nisht emes. Like sheker was a curse word for her. So what happens, like Rabbi Fran says, what happens when you're a person who values emes so much that you can't even say the word sheker? You end up with a child like Rav Pam. I don't know if it works every time, but you know, the idea being though that it's such a critical midah to be able to raise well-adjusted children, that sheker is not even a part of a person's vocabulary, that a person has this incredible integrity, this incredible sense of emes. I was just talking to some of the guys before. We were talking about the story that my daughter had to do a gadol report for school. So she had a tzaddik report. So she was able to do a report on a tzaddik or a tzaddikas. So who did she do a report on? Can you guess? Yes, yeah, so she did a report on Rav Shechter. So no, not on me. Like a real tzaddik. So she had to have a story. So I was trying to think, like, what story can I tell her that she'd understand? So here was the story that I told her, was that I remember the first time Rav Shechter ate at my house. Shai told me in advance, serve him tea, but don't put sugar in it, and ask him why he doesn't take sugar. I'm like, ask him why? That's a little funny, that's a little strange. But okay, he told me to do. So I asked him why you don't take sugar. So he said, I don't take sugar because after a few years of marriage, he and his wife were not yet zocha to children, and they went to Eretz Yisrael to get brachos from various gedolim. Apparently they worked, they have nine children, but they got brachos from a variety of gedolim. And when they were in Eretz Yisrael, they visited some relatives also. And some of the relatives that they visited weren't so religious. So one of the relatives that he visited offered him tea. He said, would you like some tea? He said, sure, take some tea. What could be wrong with tea already? He said, would you like some sugar? Do you take sugar in your tea? Now, he was concerned about Trumas and Maestros. Can he trust the sugar? So he didn't know what to say. So he said, I don't take sugar in my tea. Well, once he said he doesn't take sugar in his tea, he's not going to go ahead and take sugar in his tea ever again, because that would make him a liar. There's a similar mice with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky about Gebrux with the altar of Slavata, that he said, I don't need Gebrux, and that was it. Once he said it, Emes Liakov, you know, I can't. The sense of Emes is what enables Yaakov to raise children that are all tzaddikim, but it all goes together. We have to realize that Mizoni is a wonderful goal. Chaye is a wonderful goal. Enjoy life. Have a great time. It's wonderful. And Mizone, make a parnasa. It's very important. It's great. But why is it important? You know why it's important? Because when you're happy with life, when you have a sense of calm in your life, and when you have food on the table and you're able to provide Mizone, it will put you in a position where you will better be able to do what is really the ultimate goal, which is to raise a Jewish family. And, you know, I think it's an important mussar at this time of year for guys in college. You know, there are a lot of pressures at this time of year. And there's, because the finals time is very challenging. There are a lot of pressures. Pursuing education, though, we have to keep in mind, why are we doing this? Why are we pursuing an education? Why do I need a degree? Why am I interested in getting into a good graduate school? What's it all about? So, you know, there are some lishma people that just, you know, they love the study of what they're doing so much that they would do it even if they had billions of dollars and whatever, and they didn't. There are some people like that. I would venture to say that it's not even like a YU Landers thing. Like in YU, they're all like Mada Lishma and the Landers were about Parnas. It's not even that. I would venture to say that in YU and in Landers and, you know, where, and any other yeshiva in Ner Yisrael and everywhere else where people are going to study things, and in Harvard and in Columbia, the majority of the people are not Lishma. The majority of the people, they want to make a Parnasa. That we're, you know, you ask someone, why is it so important for you to go to graduate school? Like, why don't you just become, I don't know, a guy who works at Dunkin' Donuts? I said, there's a help wanted sign. So why don't you do that? So, okay, well, I may not be feeling so fulfilled, very filled, but not so fulfilled if I work at Dunkin' Donuts, maybe. But one of the answers you'll often get is, I have to choose this because yeshiva tuitions. I got to pay yeshiva tuition. I mean, that's actually the goal. The goal is to be able to educate your children for Torah. But we can't lose sight of the fact that in order to achieve that goal, we have to have, in order to have that goal of being, which is the ultimate goal, we have to have a sense of chayi, a sense that our life is a happy life and that we're comfortable in life, because you're not going to be able to raise well-adjusted children if we're always belachat and pressured and we, everything gets to us and we can't function and we just freeze anytime something gets, we're not going to be able to do, we're not going to be able to function. And maybe even more importantly, most directly, what enabled Yaakov to raise those children perhaps is that midah of emes. So very often people have a tremendous yetzer hara at this time of year to compromise on the midah of emes, sometimes in more overt ways, sometimes in more covert ways, sometimes in ways that are just, you know, gray areas, sometimes in ways that are pretty black and white. But, you know, there's this taiva to compromise on emes. And what we maybe we'd be, we owe our, to ourselves to realize is that we have to, if you keep in mind the big picture, you know, there's some that say, if you believe that you're going to get a single extra point or a single extra dollar by being dishonest or something like that, then you have no emunah b'Hashem or whatever. I don't think that's true. I think yeah, it could very well be. You'll make a lot of money until you get caught. Like, I think, you know, like there are people that are cheaters and made a lot of money cheating and then ultimately got caught and spent the rest of their lives in jail or whatever, hanged themselves or whatever they did. But they did make a lot of money in the short run. But I don't think that's the deterrent. The deterrent for us should be, we have goals. And our goal is to be able to, you know, the bigger, more noble picture of being a Jew who's going to continue our Mesorah. We're hurting ourselves in that process to the extent that we engage in anything that that smacks of, I would say, sheker, but let's say for this purposes of nishtemes. You know, we have to be very careful about our integrity, and hopefully through that we'll be able to be zocha to chayi the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live life, and to mizone to be able to provide for our families, and God willing, ultimately to achieve the goal that we all want in our lives, to achieve the goal of b'nei.